For the ones who work hard to ensure their crew can always go the extra mile, and the ones who get in early so everyone can go home on time, there's Grainger, offering professional-grade supplies backed by product experts so you can quickly and easily find what you need. Plus, you can count on access to a committed team ready to go the extra mile for you. Call, click Grainger.com, or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.
Welcome to Now Streaming with Jordan. Conversations are alive and well with creative people who have a lot to say and a lot to offer. And here's a lady who's done something they said couldn't be done. Her new chapter involved opening up a brand new bookstore in one of Boston's most famous neighborhoods. It's called Beacon Hill Books, located on Charles Street. Now, she got the work underway when the pandemic hit, but this charming store, a venerable, fully reconditioned Boston townhouse, has not only stayed the course, but it is thriving, with hundreds flocking to it every week, locals and out-of-towners alike. Folks are buying books, the kind with actual pages. Apparently, that's not gone out of style. Let's talk about it with our guest, a lady of vision, Melissa Fetter, as we go on mic. It's an incredible success story. Did you ever suspect that it would be as successful as it has been?
So I felt we were on to a good idea, and I was confident in, you know, the execution, the concept and execution. But what I didn't count on is the way in which social media, specifically Instagram and TikTok, would really drive business to the store. And that is what has propelled us to a level I couldn't have contemplated. Mm. And we have 76,000 followers right now on Instagram, and that continues to grow significantly every day. And that's what's bringing people from around the world, people traveling to Boston, have this content that's pushed to them that tells them about Beacon Hill Books, and we then, you know, are the beneficiaries of that.
That's awesome. Let's talk about you and what drove you to this project, and your background, how does it factor in?
Right. So I moved back to Boston in 2019. My husband and I had lived here in the mid-80s, specifically on Beacon Hill. So we were, you know, coming full circle after many intervening years living on the West Coast and in Dallas, Texas most recently, and then coming to Boston, as I said, January of 2019. And I was looking for a project. It was the first time I was relocating without my children to worry about. They're all adult children now, and I really wanted to go back into the business world. I started my career on Wall Street working for J.P. Morgan, and I just wanted to get back into that world. But quickly realized that because I'd had so many intervening years of being independent and serving on a lot of nonprofit boards that I needed to do a business that I was in charge of and I could answer only to myself. So upon returning to this neighborhood, I was shocked to find that there was no bookstore. At one time, there were three bookstores on Beacon Hill, and as of 2019, there were none. And I thought, you know, I think I could make a go of it. And I had a very clear concept in my mind that it needed to be what it has become. And that is, we purchased a federal-style townhouse, brick townhouse from the mid-1800s. And you enter it on the ground level through, you know, an interesting little walkway. And that's where our cafe restaurant is located. And then the four floors above each house different genres of books. So essentially, the second floor is nonfiction, the third floor is fiction, fourth floor is children's books and young adult books, and the top floor is our back office.
Back up a little bit and talk about your love of reading and books to begin with. It has to be there, right?
Yes, of course. So I am an absolutely enthusiastic reader. I will quickly admit, I am not like a lot of people that start bookstores where it's a lifelong dream. For me, it was more seeing an opportunity, seeing the lack of a service in my neighborhood that I felt we needed. And by the way, many surveys had been done by the Beacon Hill Civic Association over the past 10 years where everyone identified that a bookstore was really the missing amenity. Mm. And as you may know, bookstores are often the hub of a community. As we say in our website, you know, it's sort of the concept of a town square. Hmm. Bookstores are a critical element. And as you can figure by doing the math, if I started this project in 2019, I went barreling into the pandemic, renovated the building, which took 3 years, because of the pandemic and related delays. But coming out of the pandemic and opening a store, it was really ideal time, because during the pandemic, we all reacquainted ourselves with the love of reading. We understood what it looks like when the main street and all the retail businesses are boarded up. Just on our street, the main shopping street in Beacon Hill is Charles Street. We had 23 businesses that closed permanently because of the pandemic. Mm-hmm. And so in some ways, it was perfect timing. Everyone learned they loved to read, and they really got religion in terms of supporting local businesses.
Right.
And we have really benefited from all this.
It's really amazing because we've seen the departure of the big stores, the Barnes and Nobles, for instance. People have said for the longest time, no one's reading the way they used to, and yet people are reading on their Kindle and all. And yet there's something so alluring and endearing about a bookstore that has charm, that has community written all over it. And you're proving that it can be done, and done very successfully, Melissa.
Yes. So we have sold, I wish I had checked before this call, we have sold over 200,000 books. In fact, it's probably up closer to 250,000, which is a lot for a store of our size and location. And another metric that in the industry, the anticipation is that you'll turn your inventory, if you're lucky, four times.
Mm-hmm.
In our first year, we turned it 17 times.
Oh, man, that's
beautiful. So we have a lot of foot traffic. Just last week, I stopped and realized that in our restaurant, we are serving over 1,000 customers every week. And if you were to see the space, you'd appreciate what a feat that is, because we only have 8 tables.
Mm-hmm.
And but there's demand for the space, and we are open from 9 a.m. until 9 p.m. That's the bookstore and cafe. And we've got a lot of people coming through and patronizing us.
Was it a challenge when you first started to get the inventory, or was that an easy get because publishing houses were looking for places to sell books?
Yes, no, they're always keen on a new bookstore opening. Mm-hmm. There's no question. But what is interesting, I think, is the process that one goes through. There's something that in the industry is referred to as the opening store inventory, recommended opening store inventory,
mm-hmm.
ROSI. And we began by sitting down and figuring out which genres we wanted to emphasize. And we worked with a distributor that gave us a list of every conceivable genre. And there were some that we, obviously eliminated. We knew we could house 12,000 books, but that meant we couldn't have everything. So we made choices like we do not have a section of books on NASCAR, the car racing. We knew there were certain genres that would sell well in this location, or we had a hunch they would. And so once you've decided what are the genres you're going to focus on, then you have to painstakingly go through the list of every book that falls under that genre. And I have the most terrific team, one woman in particular who is really the boss around here, and she sat down and looked at every single title.
Hmm.
And came up with, this initial inventory of 12,000 books. And she'd never done it before. She's a 33-year-old. This was her first time. And she knocked it out of the park, because immediately our inventory turn was moving very quickly. So she had a good instinct for what people were looking for. And, by the way, the great joy of an independent bookstore is that you have the opportunity to learn about books that you would not be led to if you're just relying on an algorithm with an online seller. That is the fun of it. You walk into the store, something catches your eye that's on display, you pick it up, you thumb through it, and you buy it, and you read it, and you love it. It is a book that most likely you would not be led to with an online retailer.
One of the things I wanted to ask you about is this process called bookshop.org. You're combining the quaintness of a community, local, beautiful downtown bookshop with the highest tech. Tell me what bookshop.org is all about.
Yes. So bookshop.org is a brilliant idea. It is a nonprofit, and the idea is that it's aggregating the sales of all independent bookstores that don't want to stock and ship books. They don't want to try and compete with Amazon. But you can designate which independent bookstore you would like to have get credit for your purchase. And it's a wonderful platform. I feel that not enough people know about it. It is essentially buying, as you would through Amazon, every book in the world that is available through bookshop.org. And again, if you designate your favorite independent bookstore, they get a nice percentage of the sales. So that's a great way to help independent bookstores all over the country.
Right. We talked earlier about the community that this brings together. And I'm just looking at all the events you have besides author readings. I mean, you've got all kinds of cultural events that relate to something in the bookstore, but it's become a gathering spot, hasn't it? I know it's tough to get in even sometimes.
Well, yes. In fact, we kind of get a kick out of the fact that on weekends there are still lines at peak hours on Saturdays because of the crowds that want to come in. And, you know, it's a small building and we want the experience to be preserved. So we do limit. It's still busy and crowded, but we literally have to have a line because we can't hold everybody at the same time in this little building that's only 25 feet wide. It is a gathering spot, as bookstores are meant to be, and if you look through our schedule of events, you'll see that we're trying to touch everyone. We've got children's event, cookbook events. We did a speed dating session last week where the common thread was that everyone participating has a love of reading and books, and so that was the common denominator for the prospective dates that showed up for that event. So it's fun. We're only 15 months into having this business open, and our rule of thumb has always been we try everything with an open mind, see what sticks. Some ideas don't and others do, and you know, that's the way we've built the business.
And I wanted to ask you about the demographics. Obviously books of all kinds appeal to all kinds of people, but are there younger people you're noticing coming back to books?
Yes. In fact, I wanted to touch on this. You were talking about, you know, the popularity of e-books and so forth. So it's important everyone know that hard copy books outsell any sort of electronic book. So the hard copy is still alive and well. And it is the younger generation. It's the 20 and 30-year-olds that have really embraced reading and physical books as opposed to an e-reader. And in our store, our demographics skew quite young. We've got a lot of 20 and 30-year-olds. That's who's mostly working in the store. And the demographics in the book world also skew very much toward women. For whatever reason, women are reading more.
Well,
and, you know, that's...
That's okay. I think that makes sense because every woman I know is in some kind of book club.
Yeah, exactly.
And I think that's fabulous. Another question I've always wanted to ask somebody like you. I know in supermarkets, shelf positioning is very important for different products. Are certain books aligned that way? I don't know if they impress it upon you to do that or they make it worth your while. But tell us how that works.
Well, so unless we are the only bookstore that hasn't been approached by a publishing house to, you know, get some sort of special deal for product placement like you do with cereal boxes, it's entirely up to our own discretion. Mm-hmm. And again, we're trying to display books that will reach a broad audience as they come through the store. We have certain favorites among, you know, our staff that we have what's called shelf talkers in the industry where someone does a testimonial for a book that they really love. And there is an adage in this business, stack them high and see them fly. And it is amazing how well that works. You put a stack of books and you know, by the end of the day, they're all gone. So we play with it. We're constantly trying to keep it fresh. We don't want anyone to come in and say, well, those are the same books that were on that table last week. We keep moving the inventory around. And wanting to highlight different books, front list as well as back list. You know, we want to have the latest bestseller, but we also want to bring back something that was a bestseller 20 years ago.
Looking at the interior on the website, and it's such a beautiful building to begin with. It's so stately. Haven't really talked as much about the cafe. Why don't we do a little plug for that? Because you have a tea, you have all kinds of things going on. Tell me about
right.
the cafe.
So the cafe, along with the bookstore, open Tuesday through Sunday. Tuesday through Saturday open from 9 a.m. till 9 p.m. during which time we're serving breakfast, lunch, afternoon snacks, and supper.
Mm.
And then on Sundays, as you mentioned, we have this special afternoon tea. It's a proper English tea. It is served from 11 in the morning until 5 o'clock in the
mm-hmm.
evening.
Mm-hmm.
It's very popular. It's something that I have always enjoyed in various cities, in particular when you go to London. It's you know something offered with great regularity. This is a great city for tea. My gosh, it stays cold for most of the year, and so what better place to go in and have a fresh-baked
right.
scone and
right.
jam and clotted cream and tea sandwiches and sweets. It's great fun, and we do it with real fanfare. We have these beautiful silver tea stands where your meal is brought to you with the three plates that are layered with the different aspects of a traditional tea.
Wow, I can't wait. And I know people are hearing this news and are thinking, when can I get to Boston to check this place out? I know you'll...
Well, we are ready for them. And as I mentioned previously, we do have visitors from around the world. And it's worth the trip. It's one thing that I think has been a unique aspect of our particular store is that we leaned into this idea that if you're going to have a retail business today, you've got to make it compelling. You've got to give people a reason that they want to physically come into the store and not just have the convenience of ordering something online. And that has paid off for us because people do come. They purchase books while they're here, but they are coming because they want to be in the atmosphere. And I will share with you, we get lots of great feedback, but I overheard a woman say recently to her friend, she said, "Don't you just love that place?" And her friend said, "Yes, it's like a big warm hug." I love that because it does describe the way in which we have made this place a very welcoming resource for everyone, all ages, all walks of life. And one thing I would like to emphasize is that, you know, we are in this Tony neighborhood of Beacon Hill, and it's perceived to be affluent and privileged, et cetera, et cetera. But we are so dedicated to the idea that books are for everyone and this bookstore is for everyone. And we don't want anyone to think that this is just a bookstore for Beacon Hill. This is a bookstore for all travelers to Boston.
Melissa, I am so excited to talk to you and thrilled. This is a follow-up phone call from our interview several years ago now. And it does my heart well to know you've done such a beautiful job. Faith is restored. People are reading and enjoying themselves. Thank you so much.
Well, thank you. It's a pleasure to speak with you.
Thanks again to the wonderful Melissa Fetter, who's brought us Beacon Hill Books, a gift for the city for sure. Thanks for listening to On Mic with Jordan Rich. Go to jordanrich.com for much more. And remember always to be well so you can do good. Take care.
For the ones who work hard to ensure their crew can always go the extra mile, and the ones who get in early so everyone can go home on time, there's Grainger, offering professional-grade supplies backed by product experts so you can quickly and easily find what you need. Plus, you can count on access to a committed team ready to go the extra mile for you. Call, click Grainger.com, or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.